when it comes to recruiting in your warm market, let's talk a little bit about that, folks. That's the way originally that myself and Barry Clarkson and I know Andy Albright built our businesses back in the 80s on through to the 90s before we ever heard of lead programs or Monster, none of that stuff ever existed. Is that stuff good? Yes. Folks, when you hear a conference call, I want to prepare you. When you come to a convention or you come to a leadership, everything you're doing is not broke and does not need fixing, okay? If your car starts spitting and sputtering a little bit, you know, it used to be you needed a carburetor. I don't even think they have carburetors on them now. Probably fuel injection stopped up or something. It doesn't mean you need a new car. And all I'm saying there is there's a lot of things that you're doing that's working, and when we have these calls and these conventions, you need to add to what you're already doing to make it happen, okay? Now, let's talk about some key things that's going to help you. And when I say warm market, see, when you start building in a warm market, there's somebody somewhere around you doing a meeting, holding a meeting, holding an event somewhere, whether it's the Davies Group, whether it's the Alex Abian Group, whether it's the Fitzgerald Group, the Simpson Group. There's meetings going on all over the United States. You don't ask, you don't get. You don't ask, you don't get. You don't open your eyes and look and open your ears and listen, you don't know what's happening. Some of these agency managers, and probably your agency manager, is holding meetings somewhere. If not, we need to work on that, and that's one of the steps for the agency managers that can hear my voice today. There needs to be a regular meeting being held with the excitement, with the adrenaline, with the motivation, with the knowledge of covering our company, our credibility, our compensation, all of the things that people get excited about. Locally, people need a place to bring people to get them excited about that. And they need to go out and find these people and bring them back to their leaders and their uplines and their managers to make it happen. Okay? Now, everything centers around that. Everything centers around basically whether it's, a local meeting or whether it's you getting 7, 8, 10 people in a car, a van, or truck, or bus, or something, and taking them 2, 3, 4 hours away for a meeting. All right? You've got to understand that part of it. Now, number one for me is while you're on your appointments, folks, please, 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 there's your warm market. There's your explosion. There's the people that need what we have. There's the people that believe in what we have. There's the people that just bought you, therefore they believe in you. Okay? What better captive audience are you ever going to have than those people? But let's talk a little bit about your attitude while you're on that appointment. Closing the sale, getting the premium, getting the service taken care of, all of that is needed. But we need you to have an unbelievable, pumped up, motivated spirit, attitude, whatever you want to call it. Have you ever met somebody and you talk to them about their job or their position or their, you know, what they do, and they just, woe is me. Boy, that's the worst job I've ever had in my life. And you can just see it on their facial muscles. You can see it in their expressions. You can hear it in their voice. It's just, woe is me. Okay? If that's you, and you're out here dragging yourself in and out of houses, dragging yourself from appointment to appointment just to make ends meet, folks, ain't nobody going to get excited about what you're doing. So your attitude is very, very important when it comes to the way you handle yourself in the appointment and when you talk to these people. See, for me, it becomes so easy when I'm sitting at that kitchen table and I'm going through what I got to go through in about 15, 20, no more than 30 minutes. And folks, let's be real with ourselves. This ain't rocket science, all right? It's term insurance to take care of a specific need. It's simple, not easy. If it's easy, everybody do it. It is simple, okay? We're taking care of a need. So for me, it just becomes a natural, when I'm sitting at that kitchen table and I fold up and I've got the referrals and I got the stuff taken care of and I've taken care of their situation and I'm getting ready to get up from the table, it's very easy for me to turn around and to say, you know what, Donald Mayo's sitting in front of me. Excuse me a minute, Donald. Let me ask you one question, if you don't mind, buddy. I need to hire approximately 2 to 3 people, no more than that, in this area, okay? I know you're not interested. I understand that. But who do you know in this area that is good, quality people? That's what I'm looking for. They're a pillar in their community. That's what I'm looking for. They are leader in their church or their civic organization or whatever. They're well-respected from their peers. Who do you know that possibly could be struggling a little bit, someone of that character, that could use an extra $1,800 a week? Now, if you're in California, that may be $3,200 a week. Adjust it the way you need it. But who do you know? No, it's not you. But who do you know that could use that kind of money doing what I just did 3-4 times a week? What's he going to say, folks? Me? Him and his wife are looking back and forth with one another. They're trying to figure out how to say it without saying it. And one of them's going to blurt out, we're very interested in that. We could use that so little Susie could go to college or little Doug could go to college or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? They're going to tell you that they're interested. Or they're going to say, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, my cousin, he'd be great at this. And most of the time, they're going to say they're going to be great at this. Now, let's kind of analyze what I just did, folks, okay? People want what they can't have. You need to remember that. It's a natural instinct. If you're throwing up all over people, telling them how great it is, they don't want it. You know, they don't want it. See, you can tell people, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing that you can tell people, I'm involved in an operation or an organization, and I was in Raleigh this weekend, and there's 1,100 people there, and you ain't going to believe it, 10 or 12 people come across state making multiple seven-figure incomes, and this dude, you know, Robert and Michelle Wallace, unbelievable, Ralph Simpson, Fitzgerald, all that, you just go on and on and on and on, and the owners are unbelievable, and they do this, and they do that, and they got this, and, you know, one of them owns Burlington, one of them owns Danville, one of them owns Lynchburg, and you just go on and on and on and on, and people are like, Right. Well, you've been smoking. You know? You can oversell it, folks. All right? And people aren't going to get excited about it. But an extra 1,200, 800, 600, 500 in Danville, whatever the number is, okay? And you say, the first thing out of your mouth is, I'd be happy to do that, Philip, but I don't have enough leads to go around. I think if I hear that one more time, I'm just going to go ahead and shave the rest of my head so I don't have to worry about pulling that little bit of hair out. I get so tired of hearing, well, I don't have enough leads to go around now. Why should I hire people? You should hire people because there is gazillions of people in the United States that are not covered, that are waiting for somebody to knock on the door, waiting for a friend to get in the business and call them, waiting to hear from somebody they can trust, believe in, somebody that they really think care about them, to sit down with them and show them how to financially work things out to where their family won't be destitute when a breadwinner passes away. They don't have to send a lead in to be in that predicament. Are we a lead company? Yes. Are we going to figure out ways to get more leads? Yes. Are we going to do everything we can do to double in size and triple in size and continue to improve? Yes. But folks, let me tell you something. We will never, ever, ever reach all of them with leads. It will not happen. When we send out 1.2 million and 10 to 12,000 come back, what happened to the other 1.19 million? They didn't send it back. Well, who's going to go see those people? Who's going to talk to those people? See, it's the people that you're sitting at the kitchen table with that knows 10, 12, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 of those people that will never get a lead or never take the time to send it back in. That's how you dominate, folks. That's how you take over territories. That's how you actually get out there and help people. So my point is, they want what they can't have, take it away from them a little bit, okay, and take the pressure off of them. See, when you ask them, do they know of anyone else that would be interested, that takes the pressure off of them. And now they're not pressured into you throwing up all over them, tell them how good they would be, tell them they're perfect for the job. You've been there 15 minutes. How can you look at Donald Mayo in the first 15 minutes that you met him and say, you're the man for the job? You ain't that good. I'm not that good. We can't do that, folks. But you can tell him what kind of position you have, and you can tell him what kind of person you're looking for, and you can let him jump up and say, I'm that person. I know everybody in my community. I know everybody in my church. They respect me. I sing in the choir. I go here. I take care of the Boy Scouts group. I do this. I know all the parents at school because we work on functions together. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Can you give me a shot? Can you give me a chance? Well, yeah, we'll see what we can do. Now, I don't think you're going there saying you're looking for 150 people just because you're in San Diego, California. I think you're still looking for 2 to 3 people, because I think people want something that everybody can't have. I think people want something that's important. Okay? Not, well, if you need 150 people in the meeting, you probably ain't going to hire me. I ain't good enough, so you don't need me to show up. You know what I'm saying? So 2 to 3 people is what you're looking for. Now, why are you looking for 2 to 3 people? Because our company contacts and gets back in the mail, pick a number, 12, 15, 20,000 people a week that send back these letters like you're sending back. And we only have about 1,600 to 1,800 active agents on a weekly basis. And that's why I'm having to fly from point A to point B to come over here to take care of your situation. Because I haven't found anybody yet in point B that was willing to do that. And I need some help getting that done so I can fly to point C. Because there's people over there that nobody's getting to. And you can put a name to these cities. I'm just leaving everybody innocent right here. Okay? Now, folks, people want to do something that's simple, not complicated. All right? There's a difference in simple and easy. When I say simple, how hard is it to make a phone call, set the appointment, clean up a little bit, dress up a little bit, put some information together, and actually make the appointment with the person, meaning sit down with them, and show them how they can purchase this protection to take care of their family? How complicated is that? It's not that complicated. I can do it. Okay, it's not that complicated. It is simple. So, you know, if you're going into your home with, you know, 45 initials behind your name, CLP, CLU this, C through there, that, blah, 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 blah. Okay, Donald's laughing at me. CLU, that's 3/4 of a club. You know what I mean? So all this stuff behind your name, I'm proud of you, and I appreciate you, and I ain't putting nobody down for having that. I'll get some emails and say, oh, you're making fun of me now. No, I ain't. I appreciate you. I love you, and I respect you. But I'm telling you, if you're going in there with all of this stuff, telling people you're a financial planner and you can save the world and you can uncomplicate this and do this and, you know, the power square and all these things you're putting on the table, folks. And then you look at somebody and say, did you do what I just did? They're going to say, heck no. I don't even know what you said. I'm just buying so you get out of here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you did. But keep it simple, folks. Keep it simple. You die, we pay. You live, we give you money back. You fall off the roof, we pay your house payments. I mean, pretty simple. Pretty simple. And you'd have to get this amount of return to get your money back and blah, 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 blah. Okay? So keep it simple with the people to let them know that they could do what you're doing. Or whoever they know. Well, I got a sister-in-law or a brother-in-law. I got somebody in my church that needs to understand or needs a job or needs to make money. He's got a family. Then let me tell you something. Have him call me. Give me his number. Let me call him. Let me talk to him, take me to see him, whatever the case might be, but keep it simple as far as what we're doing, all right? Now, I think people need to know, and I said it, I'm just going back through what I said in the very beginning and giving you some points. I think they need to know how much they can make. If I'm talking in Danville, it's going to be an extra $500-$600 a week, because there's people in Danville don't make $500-$600 a week on their job. I can't say $1,800 a week. It'll scare them. Nobody around here makes that in a month. Okay? If I'm in California, I may have to say $1,200, $1,500 a week to get their attention. But folks, let me tell you this. I went to it probably four conference calls ago and broke it down and showed you how unbelievably simple it is to make $2,500 in a week, and backed it in from appointments to closings to sales to referrals, the whole nine yards. The key is attitude. Do you believe it? Is it happening to you? Can you pull out your portfolio and show them some of your paychecks? Folks, that's one of the best recruiting tools you got in your briefcase. If you can pull it out and show them comma checks for the last four, five, 6 weeks in a row, you ain't got to go back for your whole lifetime, okay? It will totally blow their mind, and it will solidify what you're saying. Just like it solidifies on a sale when you pull out your policy and you say, Donald, let me show you how this policy really works, buddy, because this one's mine. I can show you inside the policy which one. See, I've had people say to me, well, if I could have a policy in my briefcase to answer all the questions, it'd go a lot smoother. Well, hello, buy one. How many times are you going to get your money back on that one? Okay, and I know you need it anyway, because most insurance agents ain't got enough insurance. Sad as that is, all right? But bottom line, folks, talk to them about how much money they can make doing the right thing. Now, this leads me to number six, which was in the little statement that I opened up in right here, okay? How many people do you need in their communities, in their cities, that are not getting taken care of? See, to me, that's more important on how much you can make. In other words, if I'm talking to Donald at the kitchen table and I'm finished, I'm going to say, Donald, I'm having to fly 2, 3, 4 hours. I'm having to drive 4 hours to get up here. I'm having to fly from, you know, Pittsburgh to California to get over here, and we desperately need help to get somebody out here. There's thousands of people in your community, in your city, that we just cannot get to. We don't have the people here to do that. Who's going to help these people around here? Who do you know that's, again, you know, civic conscience, people, okay, a people person? Who do you know that cares about people? Who do you know would like to make an extra blah, blah, blah to take care of these people's needs and help these people and so on and so forth? And they're going to say, again, they are. They're the ones you're looking for, okay? Now, The next couple of points that I want to talk about is basically, I've already covered them a little bit, but I think you've got to continue to take it away from them just a little bit from the standpoint of, I only need a few people. I think that's very key. I think the fact that it's almost like the Marines. You're looking for a few good men. I'm trying to get the right words here to say it. But you know what? The Marines is looking for millions of good men, not just a few. But their motto is only a few make it, only a few survive. You know what I'm saying? We're looking for a few people to help us out in that particular community or that particular area. So let me go back and sum it up. And I want you to maybe listen from some of these bullet points that I've given you. Listen just a little bit different than you did the first time and listen for some of the things coming out. I've just finished the appointment, and I look over at Donald. I'm getting ready to leave, and I say, Donald, by the way, before I leave, I just need to mention something to you here. I'm looking for a few good people in this community that know people, that are very well respected, that are peers in the community, good, upstanding citizens, that care about people, that could use an extra $1,200 to $1,500 a week, working one or two evenings a week, doing what I just did. There's nothing complicated in what I just did. You saw that. It took me about 30 minutes. It's very easy to teach someone to do that. Who do you know that would be on your list of people that could fit that bill? Who do you know? Me, my sister, my brother, whatever. All of those 8 points was in one little sentence there, summed up, to get their attention. Watch the facial expression. Listen to what they're telling you. Pay close attention, and it'll come together for you. Okay? Now, when they say me, okay, let's take it to the second step. I'm interested. What's my second step? What have I got to do? Now, Donald, or I'm going to say to Donald, okay, I have John Doe, Jane Doe, whoever that is going to be doing a meeting here on Tuesday evening. They're going to talk about the company. They're going to talk about the credibility. They're going to talk about the compensation. There'll be four or five people in the room. Again, we're looking for two or three. You need to get there early, be up front, shake hands, smile, look good, smell good. So they'll get, you'll get their attention and you'll be the one there. And it may be 8 or 10 people there, who knows, but we're looking for two or three, whatever your numbers are. And you say, well, I'm not having a meeting in my area. Okay, if you're not having a meeting in your area, then somebody's going to have to follow back up with that person to talk to them about getting started. So who's going to follow back up? All right, I'm coming back in next week. I'm sending, Doug back in next week. Somebody will be here next week to work this community again. You know, whatever the case may be, we'll be back in touch with you. I'll have my secretary call you on the phone. We'll get some paperwork to you. We'll show you how to get into licensing class. We'll get all of that done. It's very, very simple. Again, we'll help you with that, okay? But just keep in mind our goal. Our goal is to help the community, help the people, get to the people that we don't have people to get to, all right? Now, folks, let's switch gears just a little bit and let's get out into the community where you're at. Let's get out. I mean, when you go there and you drive or fly to a city, as we always say, undisclosed locations to protect the innocent, all right? When you're out there, folks, you're going to have to eat somewhere. You're going to have to get gas somewhere. You're going to have to pick you up a soft drink or a bottle of water somewhere. It's not a shortage of people. It's a shortage of courage. It's a lack of believing or commitment on your part that we have the best part-time / full-time opportunity going today. You either believe that or you don't believe that. And if you believe that, with the economy being the way it is, how can you walk into a convenience store, buy yourself a Diet Pepsi and a pack of nabs, and not talk to the person that's behind the counter? I do not understand that. It blows my mind. It's lack of commitment or lack of belief or something. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to my brother-in-law last night, bless his heart, love him to death. We was talking about next weekend. We got to go to Bristol, Tennessee. Now, this is next weekend, not this weekend. I'll be out on the road all week. This is 2 weeks or a week and a half away, okay? And he says, we going to meet y'all in Bristol? Are y'all going to ride down with us or what? I said, what time y'all leaving? He said, we're going to leave about 5 in the morning. I said, I'll see you when I get there. Okay, it's 1-5 o'clock in the day, that's in the evening, all right? Now, I didn't want to get there that early because you can't get checked into your hotel, blah, 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 blah. We're going for family wedding, okay? So he said, well, what route you going to take? I said, I'll probably go down 81, go through Roanoke, go down 80. I don't know if I'd take that route. They just had a bad wreck up there yesterday and messed up a bridge. This is Interstate 81. Do you think in 2 weeks they ain't going to fix a bridge? But the thinking of some people, I'm going through the mountains. I'm going a different route because they had a wreck 2 weeks earlier. I love my brother-in-law. I hope he don't hear this, okay? I don't mean to put the man down. But, now, my whole point in that was, he thought in his own way, he's protecting me. Don't go that route because the bridge is out. Okay? If you knew the bridge is out, would you let your brother or your brother-in-law go over the hump not knowing it's out? No. Folks, people are financially suffering daily. People are leaving this world and leaving their families uncovered daily. How can we walk around and get a soft drink and get a pack of nabs and not share with them what we have? I don't understand that. I don't understand that, of the importance of it is. Right now, in Danville, Virginia, Goodyear, from what I understand, has got 72 hours. Are they going to strike? So there's 2,300 families in Danville, Virginia, getting ready to be on strike. Yeah, but I don't have any leads. Right. You know what? Trust me, folks, you don't need leads. You need people, and you need people to get out here and help cover these families and get this stuff taken care of. But you got to talk to them. So let's talk a little bit about what we would say if we went into this thing, okay? If I'm in a convenience store or whatever the case may be, okay? Now, I'm standing in line getting Diet Pepsi and a pack of Nabs, okay? The guy in front of me is buying a loaf of bread, who knows, whatever, TV dinner, something, whatever he's buying. Chances are he lives around here. So I'm going to strike up a conversation. Hey, man, you live around here? Yeah. Where you work at, bud? What do you do for a living? It's like I've seen you somewhere before. I can't put a face with a name, but I just want to ask you, where you work at? Where have I seen you? Did I see you on your job or what? Well, I work down here at the Goodyear plant, whatever. I don't know, wherever he works, whatever he tells me. Well, that could be it, because I used to work down there. Or I work for the post office. Well, that could be it. Maybe I've seen you out on your route. Oh, I work for the city. Oh, are you the one out there painting them lines? That's where I seen you at. Well, yeah, that's me. Yeah, well, man, that's a great job, isn't it? You know, I almost applied for that job one time, but I didn't really think I was smart enough to get the job. I mean, you got to be this, and this to get that position, and I just didn't think I'd qualify for it. Man, you better be glad you didn't get that job. Oh, really? Why? Well, you work out in the heat all day. There's number one, folks. There's a hot button. Put it in the back of your head. Okay, the questions I'm asking, I'm not asking just to pass time of day. I'm asking the question to arm myself in the back of my head with enough ammunition to come at this dude and hire him. Okay? Oh, you don't like working outside? Well, no, that heat is something, man. In the wintertime, it's ice and snow and it rains. We got to be out there. You know, that's pretty tough. Huh. Well, if you had to pick your top three things that you like about your job, what would it be? Well, I got a little bit of independence. So, you know, just a little bit, not much. Okay. Now, I do have a couple weeks a year vacation. Oh, okay, cool. And my boss is pretty decent, the one I directly work with. All right, great. So there's three things that excite this person. A little independence, okay? A boss that he kind of likes, and he gets a couple weeks vacation. Now, if you had to name three things you don't like about it, what would it be? Well, I really would like to be my own boss versus having that boss that I kind of like. And, you know, I'd like to have maybe more vacation. And, you know, I'd probably like to work maybe in the evenings or work inside or something where the weather wouldn't really. Okay, great. Folks, what can I do with that? What can I can expand on the three things that he don't like. And say, you know what, if I could offer you a position with my company to remove all the negatives that you don't like about your job and increase the positives over here, would you be interested in that? And for time's sake, I'm not going through every single one of them. In other words, if you're working outside, if I could offer you something to make better money and be able to work inside, would that interest you? Sure, would. He told me he didn't like this one and he liked this one. Absolutely it would. Okay? If I could show you a way that you could take 4 to 5 weeks vacation a year, and I really mean vacations, and in a lot of cases the companies would pay for it and wouldn't cost you a penny. If you ever travel to Europe or Switzerland or something, no, man, we go to Bugs Island and go fishing, you know? Well, okay, if I could show you that, would that interest you? Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, I think me and you have a match. Well, what do you do? What do you do for a living? What is this position you're talking about? Well, folks, you need that line, that power statement for you. For me, if I'm talking to them about selling, I'm talking to them about I show people how to protect their homes in a way that if something happens to the family or something happens to one of the breadwinners, the family's taken care of. And if they live, they get all their money back. Pretty cool. Okay, if I'm talking about the opportunity, I show people how to go out and protect families, 2 to 3 to 4 of them a week, and show you how you make an extra $1,800 a week doing that. But we're in line. They're getting ready to check you out. It's your turn. I really enjoy talking with you, man. I look forward to giving you more information. Give me your name and number, and I will call you and set up a time to sit down with you, 10, 15 minutes, you and your wife, go over the details with you, see if we can get you started, see if you're interested. Boom. It's that simple, folks. So there's two power statements. You need one if you're talking to an individual about the products that we have, and you need a power statement that you're talking to the individuals about the opportunity that we have. Okay? Now, let me give you some more ideas here. When I sit down in a restaurant, if somebody waits on me, did it this past weekend in Raleigh, true story. This lady come in waiting on us for breakfast. It was me, Andy, and Barry sitting there. First morning we was there. Probably late 50s, early 60s. Just a super nice lady. I'm talking 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning when people ain't even up yet. Okay, we sitting there now getting a game plan together. She comes over. She's all bubbly. She's excited. She's talking to us about this, that, and the other. She's telling us about all these people staying here this weekend and how they've staffed up and how they need to take care of them. And she really enjoys waiting on people. And she hopes that she don't know we're the owners of the company. She didn't have a clue who we were. She didn't ask. But she's just filling us in. She said, if y'all, you know, if you need something, you know, you need to ask so-and-so, you need to do this, you need to do that. And just all this information. And I'm like, ma'am, I really do appreciate that. Really do appreciate that. So we're talking again. She comes back. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you about so-and-so. This is going on and that's going on. And, you know, if you need a shuttle, you need to do this, you need to do that. And this is a lady working in the restaurant. They ain't got nothing to do with the shuttle service. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. Okay? We looked at her name badge and then the whatever they were, the owners or the, they probably weren't the owners, but the managers and the people in staff and whatever, it's about 5 or 6 of them. They lined up out there. Misty come and got us. They wanted to meet us and greet us for bringing 1,100 people to that facility this weekend, and they wanted to kind of wine and dine us to get us to do it again. All right? So when they introduced herself and shook my hand, I said, do you know such and such over here in the restaurant? Oh, yeah, she's one of our best employees. She's been here a while. I said, you need to take care of her. You need to give her a raise. You need to make sure she has what she needs for retirement. It's the most unbelievable person I ever had to wait on me. And I travel all over the country, and his mouth and chin flew open. Say, what? I'm like, trust me, you need to take care of this one. This girl's running all your departments from the restaurant. Okay? So impressive and complimentary and talk to people about the business. Now, this lady's about 65 years old. I don't think she'd want to change careers, you know. But all I'm saying is if that had been somebody 19 years old, I'd have talked to that person. I'd have got the name and number. I'd have gave it to somebody that was there locally in Raleigh before I left there. You understand what I'm saying? So bottom line, folks, talk to people, listen to people, have a power statement, all of these things everywhere you go. This is your warm market. If you come in touch with it, it's your warm market. Now, you may not talk to the person that is the person. This is probably one of the hardest things to convince people of or get people to understand. Don't overlook somebody. Don't look past somebody. Don't look around somebody, because you don't know who knows the next Andy Albright. You don't know who knows the next Barry Clarkson. You don't know who knows the next Donald Mayo, Adam Katz, whoever. They could be their uncle, their aunt, their sister, their brother. But until you talk to them, until you ask questions, I don't know at the times that I've talked to people and they say, you know what, I got a brother-in-law that would be totally awesome with this. I got a sister-in-law, lady that does my massages. She said, my brother lives in Washington State, and he'd be awesome with this. I said, I'm on my way to Oregon. Tell him to meet me. If he don't meet me, he ain't what I'm looking for. I'm one state over. Okay? I've talked to him on the phone. He went and got his license. He don't meet me in Oregon. Pretty simple. Okay? But I had to be talking to him. When did I talk to him? When she's giving me a massage. That's when I talked to him. She's asking me questions. By the way, what do you do? Well, let me tell you what I do. Well, are you looking for people? Yeah, a few. Who you got in mind? My brother. Where does he live? Washington. Yeah, we need at least a few up there. You know what I'm saying? We need at least a few up there in Oregon, okay, in Washington State, places that we just got something that everybody else don't have, okay, with another company. So, folks, you're kind of getting the idea here. It's your warm market. You simply talk to people. Again, try to get the pressure off of them. try to take away the things that basically the complicated things, so to speak. Let them know that it's simple, all of these things, and you're going to get names, you're going to get phone numbers, you're going to have people that's going to say, how quick can I get started? You're going to have people say, I'm not interested, you know, and you just go forward with it. For example, let's do a little bit of objections maybe. I'm talking to Donald, and I put the statements out that I just said here, and Donald said, let's see. Now, I'm not interested myself, and I said, I know, sir, I understand that. I can appreciate that. Remember my opening line? I know you're not interested, but who do you know in the community? So I understand that you're not interested, but I know you know a lot of people, okay? So I'm just looking for the person that I just described to you. Who would you know? And I'll jog his memory on that. How about any sisters, any brothers, any relatives, any people go to your church? Any people you work with currently? Know anybody's dissatisfied with their job? Know anybody's just kind of like fed up with it? Looking for something? Looking for a change? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Josephine or whoever. Okay, whoever. Know anybody out of work? Know anybody that's struggling right now? So you just ask questions, folks, and jog their memories. But the key is you've got to take that one extra step whether you're out. I mean, we had a lady got up on stage Sunday morning, closed a $4,800 premium at the playground bill. At the playground bill while she's shoveling mulch. See, we had people in the community. Some of you didn't realize that. There was over 350 people at that playground bill. All of them were not our people. It was 75 Elon College graduates getting ready to graduate, students. These students are going to have a job. These students are going to have something to do with their careers. One little girl that we recognized from stage started the program on that playground bill. She wanted to build a playground. Her dream was to build a playground for them kids. She went out with her sorority, and in 90 to 120 days, she raised $10,000 towards that playground before we even got involved in it. And when we stepped in, we matched what she put in, and then Forrester's put in another $60,000, and we built a $70,000, $80,000 playground in one day for those kids and changed their life forever. But that one little girl had the drive to get it started. Somebody was talking to that little girl before we left there about a position with our company. I seen them talking to her. You know what? We had the microphone. We was like, somebody ought to hire this one. You know what I mean? This one is going to need something to do. She would make a great one for us, okay? Caring about people. And I think, folks, that's, you know, it's not all about the money. I think sometimes we get caught up in what we do, and we really talk about the benefits, the money, the what you can buy, what you can get, what you can make. All of that stuff is very important. I do understand that, and that is going to get people's attention. But when you start talking about the clients that have recognized the seriousness of what they've just done for their family to protect their family's interest, and you're looking for a few people in that community, in that city, in that county that can reach the rest of them, folks, how important is that? How important is that? It's unbelievably important. And that's what I want you to do. Now, again, second step, let's make sure we finish. When you get that, plug them into a meeting. You can't edify yourself. Folks, if you're listening to me today, you have an upline. Edify your upline. Get these people in front of your upline. Get these people in front of your sideline peer. Get these people in front of somebody that can sell this opportunity and get these people locked in on what we're doing. You know, here's another way if I'm talking to Donald. Donald, man, the timing, I had no idea you'd be interested, buddy, but I really appreciate you being honest with me and saying you'd be interested. Tell you what I'm going to do. You and your wife can be the guest of my wife and myself. What I'm doing is I got a meeting that's about an hour and a half away in Greensboro, North Carolina. We got some of our top leaders coming in. They're going to be there Friday evening from 7 o'clock to 9:30. I'll come by and pick you and your wife up. You can be my guest. We'll go out to dinner. We'll sit and have a nice dinner. I'll pay for it. And we'll go in. We'll listen to the meeting. And you can get all the details and then make your decision on what you're going to do. Boom. You got to get a van and get six people to go out to dinner. Okay? Get six people and go out to dinner. Then go to the meeting. Then get them all pumped up. Now you're going to have everybody coming back down the road. Did you hear him say? Did you hear what they said? Did you hear the wicked? Man, I'm in. Are you in? Yeah, I'm in. I'm in. You in? Yeah, I ain't going to let it get by me. Boom. And the time you get back home, everybody done recruited everybody. All right? So, folks, let's think outside of the box a little bit. Let's take a lot of the principles that we learn on sales and apply them to recruiting. Because I'm going to give you the secret right now if you'll write it down. Okay? Recruiting is nothing but a sales process. Everything you've learned in sales applies to recruits. The takeaways, the everything, the I love yous, the emotions, the tie downs, the commitments, everything you've learned in sales applies to recruits. Think about it. Think about the principles, and you're basically selling them on a part-time / full-time opportunity. And my question is, how good of a salesperson are you when you truly believe in it? And I know the answer. I know the answer. Because these 500-plus people on this phone right here are some of the most unbelievably talented salespeople that we have in our country. I believe that with everything in me. I just believe you're stopping short of selling the opportunity. I believe you're selling the policy, and bingo, I'm on to another policy. Bingo, I'm on to another policy. I think you need to back up a little bit and punt, as we used to say, okay? And understand the opportunity and understand the importance of selling that hand in hand with what we do. We desperately need help to get to these people and get to these communities. We don't have enough agents, folks. So let's get out there and do some warm market recruiting. Anything I can do to help, let me know. We will be on the call tomorrow at 12:30 for managers, 1 o'clock for our regular conference call. Hope to see you there. As I said, Barry's hitting the road. I'm hitting the road. Hope to see you in these cities that we show up at and bring some warm market friends, family, relatives, clients, people you know, people that know people you know. Bring them with you, folks. Put them in the car and bring them with you. Okay? Later. Y'all have a good week.